All right. Welcome to Shoreline. If we have not met, am I up? Am I on? Sound check, 1, 2, 3. All right, welcome to Shoreline. My name is Jermaine Harrison, if we have never met. And welcome to Shoreline. Welcome to Summer Shoreline. This summer, we have been going through a series called Reputation. And we've defined reputation as what others believe is true about you. What others believe is true about you. And last week specifically, we talked about this concept of joy that should be a part of the Christian reputation. This message is catered towards those who have placed their faith and trust in the God of the universe and in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And these should be the distinguishing markers of your relationship with God, of your reputation if you claim to be a follower of Jesus. And so last week, we talked about this idea that to have joy that stays, keep Jesus in full gaze. Jesus should be what you gaze at in the midst of any struggle, any challenge that you might be experiencing in life to truly experience lasting joy. And the kind of theme verse for the summer that we've been walking through is Galatians 5, 22 through 23, which says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." There's no law against these things, and the Holy Spirit is what produces this kind of fruit in our lives. As we surrender ourselves daily, as we submit ourselves to His leadership and lordship in our lives, we get to experience the fruit of the Spirit, not by our own efforts, but by the Holy Spirit working in us. So tonight we're going to be talking about the third virtue, the third characteristic that should mark the Christian reputation. And again, if you're a follower of Jesus, this should be true of you, and I want to help you learn and see how it can be more and more true of you and your life. And if you're not a Christian, I hope you become one, and I hope that this message is a part of what the Lord uses to draw Him to yourself. So we're talking tonight about peace. And what better way to talk about peace than to remind ourselves of the utter chaos that we all just experienced in Dallas, Texas. So on Sunday afternoon, most of you were hanging out, you know, at home. Maybe you were at brunch, you were at lunch, you were sleeping in, watching Netflix. It was a Sunday just like every other Sunday. And around 1:15, the clouds started to roll in very unexpectedly, right? And about 1:30, I was at home looking through the sliding glass door of my apartment, and me and my wife were watching the storm roll in. And within minutes, the 70-mile-an-hour winds started to howl, and the rain started to come down, and we couldn't see outside. We couldn't see any building. We couldn't see what was going on. Water was coming into our apartment on the 8th floor. Yes, the 8th floor. It was raining that hard and that fast in that moment that this crazy storm was causing a scene in Dallas, right? And it lasted for like 20 to 30 minutes, maybe. And then the sun started to come back on, and everyone's like, wait, what? But in the middle of that 20 to 30 minute storm, homes were damaged, cars were damaged, businesses, roads, people got hurt. Unfortunately, someone even passed away through something that happened at one apartment complex. This short storm caused lasting damage that we are even still trying to pick up the pieces from right now. Some of you at your own homes or friends that you know, you've seen the damage caused by this storm. For me, one of my friends, his name is Brett, he sent me a picture of his home, and it's up on the screen, of what happened because of the storm that ravaged through Dallas. This tree is, you know, broken into so many pieces on top of his car, on top of his home. It's crazy. Here's another picture. This is my friend Bridget. She's driving in the rain and in this very high water because she's trying to rescue my other friend, Becca, who got stuck in the rain because it was a normal Sunday afternoon. She was just riding her bike. And then comes the rain and the hail and everything. I know, why was she riding her bike? Who does that? Anyways, so Bridget is going and trying to rescue her and driving through this water, and then this happens. Look at this next picture. She's in her car, and there's water. That is water in her car, taking it over in this moment that she's trying to rescue her friend. And I'm sure you've seen those pictures on Instagram, or you've heard of family and friends who experienced some sort of loss or damage because of the storm that came through. And this physical, actual storm got me thinking as I was preparing for this message that is a lot like our lives. Sometimes in our lives, we experience storms that come by surprise. Sometimes we experience storms that come by surprise and cause lasting damage. Not a hailstorm with rain and thunder and lightning, although maybe that might be. But specifically, a storm that is surprising because of the stress, the worry, and the anxiety maybe that it caused in your life. Sometimes we experience it. Maybe it's a horrible health announcement by a family member or a friend. Maybe your girlfriend broke up with you, or your boyfriend broke up with you. Maybe you got mistreated or ignored or disrespected, or maybe you didn't get the ACT or SAT score that you wanted. Really, any scenario that causes stress or anxiety can be characterized as a storm that you and I experience. And no one is excited about those moments. You don't purposely walk into a stressful situation or an anxious situation. We would all rather have peace and tranquility and rest, right? We would all rather have peace that is the opposite of stress and anxiety. And I want to present to you tonight from God's word this idea that that kind of peace is always possible and is always available to you. That kind of peace that transcends your circumstances, that is there no matter what is happening, is always, always available to you. Jesus says that it is. In John 14, verse 27, so you can grab your Bible, grab your journal, get ready to take some notes about what God has to say to all of us about peace. And so here's what Jesus says to his disciples, and by extension to us, if we claim to be followers of Jesus, right? Right before he goes to the cross, he says this to his disciples and us. He says this, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Don't we all want that? The gift of peace of mind and heart? And he says, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. In other words, my peace is categorically different from any other peace that you may want to experience or try to experience through this world. It's better than or preferable to peace that you may get. Peace that you may get from meditation or yoga or positive thinking or having the right amount of money or knowing the right people. Any sort of peace that this world promises to you pales in comparison to the gift of true peace that Jesus offers to us as a gift. A gift, not something you work for, not something you earn, something that is given to you by the kindness and grace of God, and it is always available to you. So tonight I'm going to share with you how we can experience peace when life gets complicated. When you're stressed, when you're anxious, when you begin to worry, I hope that what we talk about tonight is helpful to you if you live it out and practice it in those moments of anxiety, stress, or worry. So how can we experience peace when life gets complicated? All right, here we go. So the first step that you can take to ensure that you experience the gift of peace that God wants to give to you in the midst of your stressful or anxiety-causing situation is this, to trust that God cares. Trust that God cares. And if I were you, sitting in your seat, I would begin to roll my eyes and go, heard that one before. Heard it many, many times. It doesn't even work. What does that mean to trust that God cares? Does he care? What does it mean? What am I supposed to do exactly? And I want to help you understand what it means to trust that God cares. So trust, a quick, easy definition of trust. Trust is firm belief. Trust is firm belief. It is confidence. It is assurance. It is certainty, right? Trust is firm belief. And I don't know if you know this, but you trust things or people all the time. Literally every one of you trusted someone or something today within the last hour. When you walked into this room, how many of you looked under your chair and made sure the screws were all in and made sure that the chair wasn't going to collapse? That's what I thought. How many of you, when you got into your car or you got into your parents' car or your friend that picked you up to bring you to Summer Shoreline, how many of you were like, wait just a second. Let me check the engine. Let me check the tire pressure. Let me make sure all the wires are all together. How many of you did that? That's what I thought. And you know why? Because you trusted that this vehicle was, designed and engineered in a way that it would perform its job. You also trusted your parents or your friend that drove you here, or if you drove yourself here, you trusted that that person knew how to drive and wasn't going to kill you. You trust and firmly believe your parents. You trust and firmly believe your coaches all the time. Or even a plane. When you get on a plane, how many of you have ever been like, wait a second, before this plane takes off, let me go into the cockpit and interview these pilots and make sure that they have a pilot license and that they have a lot of experience flying planes. How many of you have ever done that? None of you, but yet you trust this humongous piece of metal to fly you across in the air, 30,000 feet up in the air, right? You trust all the time. But for some reason, it's hard to make sense of that when it comes to God, right? It's like, okay, I can see how we trust in all these other areas, but how do I trust God? How do I trust? How do I firmly believe in Him and know that He cares? I'm glad that you asked, because there's a story in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, that illustrates how we can trust, that God cares. So grab your Bible, or you can look up on the screen. The story is in Mark chapter 4, and it's right after Jesus has performed all these miracles. He's raised people from the dead. He's healed the sick. He's given sight to the blind. He's taught amazing messages. He's confronted the spiritual and religious leaders of the day. And then at the end of the day, we find ourselves in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 38. And remember, we're looking to understand how we can understand what it means to trust that God cares. So verse 35 says this, Mark 4. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. Verse 37. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. And Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. I want you to go there with me in your mind. These fishermen are on this boat. There's 12, 13 of them on the boat and they're about to cross the lake. And the storm, like the one that came on Dallas this weekend, came on that lake. And the waves were roaring and they were falling into the boat, and thunder was sounding. I don't know what thunder does. It was crackling, and the wind was blowing, and they were nervous. These fishermen who had been on the sea and had seen all sorts of storms like this come through, they were stressed. They were anxious. They were worried that they weren't going to make it. So much so that they were looking for Jesus, and they're like, "Where is this dude?" And verse 38 tells us what Jesus is doing. While all this chaos, while all this stress and anxiety causing situation is happening on the outside, what is Jesus doing? Says he's chilling. Like, they go out of their way to say he wasn't just kind of, you know, like when you're sleeping at the airport and you're uncomfortable but you're sleeping. No, Jesus went to the back of the boat, found a nice cushion, you know, one of those foam mattresses, and put that down and fell asleep, right? And the disciples are freaking out. They're like, "Are you kidding me? We're going to drown. We're going to die. And he's over here asleep. Let's go wake him up." And so he said, the disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we are going to drown?" in a desperate situation where the disciples were stressed, where they were anxious, much like you and I can be, they asked the question that most times you and I ask in stressful and anxiety-causing situations. Does God even care? Does God even care? We can go back to that slide before. Does God even care? You've been there in that situation where you're anxious, where you're stressed. You're like, man, does God care that my mom is sick? Does God care that our family is struggling financially? Does God care that I feel lonely in this moment? Does God care that my family is broken? Does God care that my life is really hard? You've asked it. I've asked it. And there's a verse in Scripture that I think answers that question. It's a verse that you should memorize. It's a verse that you should put as a lock screen on your phone. It's a verse that you should write on the mirror, your mirror at home, so that you see it all the time, so that you're reminded of this truth. Does God care that you're drowning? Here's what 1 Peter 5, verse 7 has to say. 1 Peter 5, 7. And you're asking that question, does God really care? It says this, give all your worries and your cares to God. Give all of them, all the stress, all the anxiety, give all your worries and cares to God. Why? For he cares for you. Give all your worries and all your anxieties to God because he cares about you. Do you understand? I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but I want you to know in this moment, if you've never believed it before, that God cares about you. Yes, you. And he showed that he cared about specifically you because he gave his life. He took a punishment that you deserved. He took on your death. He took on something that he did not deserve so that you can have life, so that you would be that you would experience mercy and not have to experience what you deserve. Jesus cared so much for your life and for your welfare that he gave up his life and his welfare so that you can have life, so that you can have a reconciled relationship with God, so that you can experience joy and love and peace. Jesus cared so much about you that he died for you. And so the answer to the question, does God care when I'm anxious, when I'm stressed, when I'm worried about fill in the blank? The answer is a resounding yes. He does care. And he wants you to cast all your worries and all your cares on him. Here's a picture of me graduating high school. It's me and my principal, Shareed Hussein. Remember him? He was a great guy. He doesn't like me probably because of my high school career. But at this moment, I was excited. I was 16, about to turn 17. I was a year younger than everyone else. I graduated high school early. I had my future ahead of me. I got incredible scores on my tests, on my SATs. I was planning on becoming a doctor. I had this grand, amazing plan for my life. And then the plan started to fall apart. And I couldn't go away to college like all of my friends did because I couldn't afford it. And so I started to work where everyone starts to work when they can't go to college, an ice cream store. I started to work at Häagen-Dazs Ice Cream Company, and I would deliver ice cream to restaurants and supermarkets and wherever else, trying to make money to save enough money to be able to go away to college, right? And so that was my plan, that I would do that for an entire year while my friends were in their freshman year of college, and everything would be great, right? So I had a new plan, and then that one got ruined. Long story but short, I got fired from my job. I didn't do anything, I promise. I got fired from my job, and so here I was, 17 years old, trying to find a job all over St. Martin, where I grew up. I would apply to all these different places, and they would tell me no, or they would ghost me. I would hear nothing, or they would say, no, we don't want to hire you. And this happened week after week, month after month. It was about a five-month period of time where I was unemployed, you know, like, you know, that scrubby picture of an unemployed person with their coat on, their slippers, eating cereal in front of the TV at 11 a.m. Like, that was me. But not because I wanted to do it, but because that was just my life. And I was caught in this moment where there was so much stress and there was so much anxiety, because I was like, what is my future going to be? How am I going to get out of this scenario? This is crazy. Does God even care? I know you've been there too, not maybe in that specific scenario, but you've been in a stressful or anxiety-causing situation where you've asked or even thought the question, does God even care? And I hope, man, that you see through this message, through this story, through 1 Peter 5:7, that the answer to that question is a resounding yes. And that you can firmly believe in that, that you can be confident, that you can be certain that God cares. So, to experience the gift of peace that Jesus offers to every one of us all the time, our first step is to trust that God cares. Number two, the second step is to trust that God can take care of you. Trust that God can take care of you. So in addition to trusting that he cares about you and cares about what's going on in your life, you should trust that God can take care of you. So let's go back to the story in Mark chapter 4. So remember where we're at. The disciples are going crazy because of the storm that is going crazy, and Jesus is asleep, and they go to him and they ask him this question, do you even care? Just like we ask that question sometimes. And then here's what happens next. When Jesus woke up, this is Mark 4:39. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the waves. Silence, be still. Like, go there with me and think about it. The waves are crashing. The thunder is thundering. There's lightning. There's all this danger. The boat may be capsizing or sinking. Water, it's taking on water. The disciples are worried. They're stressed. They're anxious. And they go shouting at Jesus, do you even care? Why are you asleep? And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the winds and the waves, and he said, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? And he asked us the very same question, why are you afraid? In whatever is causing you stress, in whatever is causing you anxiety in this moment, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And what Jesus was getting at with his disciples in asking these questions is that he was saying, guys, I see you. I care about you. Just because I'm chilling on a cushion doesn't mean that I don't see you and know and care about what is going on in your life. In fact, I am powerful. I have the ability to bring resolution to whatever is causing you anxiety or stress in a moment, in a word, with a thought, because I am the Almighty Savior of the world. That's what Jesus is saying to them. Do you have no faith? Why are you still afraid? I've proven myself over and over to you through the miracles that you have seen me perform. Why are you still afraid? So God sees you in the same way, and he knows your situation, and he cares about you like we just talked about. And he has the power and the ability to intervene in your situation, in your anxiety, in your stress, in your worry. And I know what some of you might be asking. That sounds good. So why isn't he? Why doesn't he, at the drop of a word, just make this problem go away or be resolved? Why doesn't he take away this situation that's causing me anxiety or that's causing me to worry or that's causing me to stress? Why can't he just speak it out of existence or resolve it? And my answer is, I don't know. I don't know why he's not resolving your stressful situation or the anxiety that you're experiencing. I don't know. And anyone who says that they know why something is happening to you or why it's been going on for so long is misinformed or is not telling you the truth. We don't know. But here's what I do know. That even in the midst of this stressful situation that you may be experiencing that's causing you anxiety, that's causing you to worry, and you're wondering, does God care and why he's not intervening in your situation, what I do know is that God sees the bigger picture. We're finite. We look at the situation that's happening right in front of us that's causing us to be stressed or anxious, but the God of the universe is almighty and all-powerful, and he sees the beginning of your life, and he sees the end of it, and he sees everything in between. He sees the beginning and the end of your stressful or anxiety-causing situation. He sees it all, and he has a purpose in it, whatever that might be, even though we're unable to see it. So, for example, in my own life, remember, no job, no prospects for college, no one's even wanting to hire me, right? And I'm stressed, and I'm anxious, and I'm like, God, do you even care? But it was in that season of time where I was struggling, where I was anxious, where I was seeking God to help me out. It was in that season of time that I got introduced to the college that I eventually went to. And when I went to that college, I fell in love with doing ministry, with serving, with teaching, with leading. And I said, you know what I want to do? I want to do this some more. So I want to learn and prepare myself for this. And so I started to look up graduate schools, and I found one here in Dallas, Texas, and I applied and I got accepted, and I moved to Dallas in August of 2010, and I started going to seminary, and then after a while, I started going here to Watermark, and I got plugged in. I became a member. I started serving with students, and then a couple years later, I graduated from seminary, and I got offered a job here at Watermark to lead and serve with students, and then a couple years after that, met my wife, and I could go on and on and on about these things that I have experienced that I couldn't see in that stressful, anxious moment, but what God wanted was for me to seek him, was for me to trust him, was for me to cast my cares and my anxieties on him in that moment. If you would have asked me 10 years ago when this story happened, or more, 12 years ago when this story happened, do you think that in 12 years you're going to be a youth pastor in Dallas, Texas, leading Shoreline and doing all, I would be like, no, I'm over here trying to eat cereal and watch SportsCenter because I don't even have a job. Like, that was my reality, right? I couldn't see the bigger picture. And you can't either. And so while it may be stressful, while it may be causing you anxiety, while you may be even frustrated, God, why aren't you changing my situation? I don't know why he doesn't, but I know it is for his glory and it is for our good to make us more like him. Because God is for us. Isaiah 41, verse 10, here's what it says. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. God is saying, in those stressful moments, in those moments where you may feel anxiety or worry, don't be worried. Don't be afraid. Why? Because I am right there with you in the midst of the storm. Even though it may seem like I'm asleep, I am not. I see and I know and I care, and I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up. That is the promise of God, that he can take care of you. One of the most practical ways to trust, right, to firmly believe, to be confident in, to be assured of that God can take care of you, is to pray. One of the most practical ways that you can firmly believe that God can take care of you is to pray. And some of you are like, okay, of course. The prayer application, typical. And here's what I'll say to you. I don't know how many times you've heard that or how many times you've tried to pray because you thought maybe this will work. I want to help you understand what prayer is and how it allows you to experience peace. So prayer is talking to God anywhere, anytime, for any amount of time. You could be eating cereal, watching SportsCenter, and praying. You could be in your class. You could be driving. You could be hanging out with your friends, laying in bed. Whatever you're doing, whenever you're doing it, wherever you're doing it, prayer is talking to the God of the universe who, as we talked about, cares about you. And he wants to know what's going on in your life. So prayer is talking to God anywhere, anytime, for any amount of time. Here's the next thing I want you to understand about prayer. Prayer isn't always answered the way you want it to be, right? Sometimes you pray that something happens, and it doesn't necessarily happen in that way because you're not Aladdin, and God isn't genie. And you just ask, you know, this wish, and he's like, sure, sounds good. Prayer isn't always answered the way you want it to be, but it always brings peace. I'm going to show it to you in a second from Scripture. Prayer isn't always answered the way you want it to be, but it always brings peace. Here's a third thing about prayer, and then we'll go to that verse. Prayer sometimes changes your circumstances. There's sometimes you pray for something to happen, for something to change, and in God's sovereignty, he decides to, you know, to grant that prayer. But that's never the goal of prayer. The goal of prayer is for us to align our hearts and our will and our affections with God, not to get what we want. Prayer sometimes changes your circumstances, but it always strengthens your resolve. If you're going through something stressful or you are experiencing anxiety, I submit to you that if you pray, if you bring it to the God of the universe, if you tell him how it's affecting you, if you ask him to change it in a way that will be beneficial to you, what might result is that he says yes, but what I know for sure will result is that you will be strengthened, is that you will be encouraged to keep trusting God and to keep walking through that challenging season. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. This is another verse you should put as your lock screen on your phone, a verse that you should memorize, a verse that you should write on your, you know, your mirror at home or however you or wherever you see something to have in your car all the time. It says this, don't worry about anything. Here's the deal. God knows that you're going to worry, that I'm going to worry, that we're going to be anxious, that there's going to be situations where we experience that cause stress and anxiety. That is a given. Because we're humans, because it is a part of the human experience to worry or to be anxious or to be stressed. But he offers an alternative way of life. He says, instead of worrying, pray about everything. Talking to God anytime, anywhere, for any amount of time about whatever you want, right? Instead of worrying, pray about everything. And he says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And so when you pray about everything as opposed to worrying, when you put the worry aside, or when you ask God to help you put the worry aside as you bring that anxious thought or that stressful situation to him, and you tell him what you need, what you'd like to see, and then you thank him for how he has worked in your life in the past and how he continues to work in your life right now, verse 7 is guaranteed to happen. God isn't like, oh, maybe I'll do it. He says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Remember the gift that Jesus said he was leaving with us? A peaceful heart and mind. And here again in Philippians 4:7, it says, his peace will guard your hearts and will guard your minds. So to kind of sum up what we've been talking about, and then we'll be out of here. The way you can experience the gift of peace that Jesus offers to us always, all the time, is this: peace is provided to those who pursue the Prince of Peace. I wanted to use as many P's as possible so you could remember it. Maybe I should change those to like people. So peace is provided to people who pursue the Prince of Peace. That sounds great. Peace is provided to people who pursue the Prince of Peace, right? In your storm, in that anxiety, in that anxious situation, or that stressful situation, the way you experience peace, no matter what is happening externally, is you pursue the Prince of Peace. You trust that He cares for you. You trust that He can take care of you. You firmly believe these things, and you go to Him in prayer consistently, trusting that He knows, He sees, and He cares, and has the power and ability to intervene in your situation. Peace is provided to those who pursue the Prince of Peace. So there's one final verse in the story that we're going to look at. Mark 4, verse 41. And there's one final question that's asked. So remember, the storm is happening. The disciples are stressed. They're worried. They're freaking out. And they ask a question: Jesus, do you care? Why are you asleep? And the answer is, yes, He does, right? Then Jesus wakes up, He says, peace be still, and the wind and the waves and everything goes still. And then Jesus asks the question, why are you so afraid? Do you not have any faith? And then the disciples ask a question of themselves that I want you to ask of yourself. The disciples were absolutely terrified, it says in verse 41, and they asked this question: who is this man? Who is this man? They asked each other, even the wind and the waves obey Him. And so to kind of put that question into an application, I want you to decide to ask yourself, man, who is Jesus to me? Who is Jesus to me? Is he some great guy, awesome historical figure, or someone my parents tell me I should follow or should listen to? Or is He the Son of God who gave His life for you and offers you this gift of peace every single day? So the application for you is to decide, what will mark your life? Will the terror that comes or controls your life when the external circumstances are causing you to be worried and stressed and anxious, will that mark you? You get to decide. Or will what marks you be the trust, the firm belief that God cares for you, that God can take care of you, and that He's powerful and able to intervene in your circumstance, and that He is with you no matter what? Will that mark your life? And again, it's not something that you can do, not something that you can earn, not something that you can work hard enough to accomplish. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tells us, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, and peace, the peace that is a gift, the peace that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you're a follower of Jesus, your call is to surrender to Him, is to submit to Him every single day, and to remember that He cares for you, and to remember that He can take care of you, and to cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Let me pray that you would. God, thank You so much for these students. Thank You so much for the adults in the room. Thank You for this reminder from Your word that You love us, that You see us, that You know us, and that You're with us in the midst of any situation we may experience, and that You have made available this gift of peace through Your Son, Jesus, as we submit our lives and surrender our lives to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I pray that everyone in this room, when they feel anxious, when they're worried, when they're stressed, that they would look to You, that they would cast their cares on You, that they would know that You care and that You can take care of them. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.